Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Double Max Monday.
Tapes and tapes.
Tapes and tapes. And tapes and tapes.
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 And tapes.
Tapes and tapes.
And tapes.
Tape your tapes to the wall.
That's a lot of tape.
Need strong tape.
It is strong tape. It came off the boxes for the AOL discs.
Ah.
It's a very old tape. It's like had time to kind of ferment and become just extra potent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fermented tape.
Fermented tape.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, hi everybody. Tapes and Scouts, part one of Double Max Monday. Make sure you check out part two later over at their superliminalfilms.com.
Did you see?
Did you see?
That's it. That's
there
the
it
name
is.
Of it. Yeah.
Double down on the Max. Always double down on Max.
You know, I appreciate when I am both the chicken and the bread.
Oh, man. What a sandwich.
Did you ever have one?
A chicken sandwich?
No, a double down.
A double down?
A double down, yeah.
I haven't had a double down in, oof, I don't even know.
I've had them when they were a thing.
Right.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Like, you think it's going to be a good idea.
Right.
It's not.
You double down on a bad idea.
You're grabbing a big, greasy ball of chicken, and inside they put what they're putting on, like, they kind of claimed was cheese. I've had cheese.
Yeah.
It wasn't what that was in there. And then something they also claimed to be bacon. I'm not trusting the kernel with my bacon.
You don't trust the kernel.
No. But the little sauce they had in there, that was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, sauce was good.
So we need saucy chicken.
A grease ball with decent sauce.
Yeah.
And you discard the cheese and the bacon.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't cheese.
Ugh.
There's no way.
No, absolutely
not. I don't even know what it could be. It's the stuff.
It's somewhere between the stuff and earwax.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's gross.
Ew.
Yeah.
Delicious. Movies, that's what we're here to talk about.
Oh, yeah, the stuff.
They do have the stuff. Would you like to go first or second,
mister? I will go first.
Oh, yeah.
This time, because I got a movie.
That means we're ending good.
Yeah, all right.
What you got?
2019.
Mm-hmm.
Good Boys.
Oh, Good Boys.
Good Boys.
I didn't see this, but I am familiar.
I watched it in November of 2020. It is the perfect runtime, 1 hour and 30 minutes, because they're good boys.
They're good boys. They did it.
It is a comedy film starring Brady Noon, Molly Gordon, and Keith L. Williams. The summary for this is 3 12-year-old boys endure epic misadventures as they prepare for their first kissing party.
Yeah, I really want this to be good. I hope it is.
So this is kind of like kids go on an adventure, comedy, like coming of age story. It has a lot. If you're in for this, you're going to love it. If you're like me and not so much in for this, it works, but it's a little hard to get through. And that is what I consider to be cringy comedy.
Okay.
So it's a lot of awkward, like, we're hitting puberty comedy. So it's like a little bit uncomfortable to watch these poor kids kind of endure some of the awkwardness that you may or may not relate to of being that age. And they're kind of dorky kids.
Sure.
They're literally playing Ascension in this movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like pretty cool. It's like, oh, Ascension.
Ascension fun.
Yeah.
Everybody out there.
Oh, Ascension's a great card game.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's fun to see. And the three leads are fantastic. They all do a really good job. They have great chemistry. They do a really nice job chewing the scenery when they're in it, especially together. But just that cringy comedy, man, is so hard for me.
Right.
They're just like awkward into awkward. It's just like, ugh. Like,
well, you like your wholesome 80s kids go on an adventure kind of feel.
Right. I want an adventure that has a little bit of comedy in it.
Right. Not kids meet Jackass.
Right. Like, I like my coffee with a little bit of cream, maybe. I don't like my sugar with coffee and cream, as the Beastie Boys once said.
Oh, they did say that.
Yeah. So that's kind of what this is in for. It's just the comedy with a little bit of kids go on an adventure. I want kids go on an adventure with a little bit of comedy, like Stranger Things or Goonies.
Yeah, I got you.
So very fun, pretty neat little movie. You're not going to be sad you watched it. It is got a lot of cringe in it, though,
okay,
if you're into that. And they stack up a lot against these kids. Like, they have to do a lot. Like, their goals become very complex. And it's just like, this is a lot. This would be a lot for an adult to have to accomplish.
Sure.
Who can drive and shit.
Right.
And these little kids have to kind of endure it. So it's a little heavy. It was a little tense for me in terms of a comedy. I couldn't quite relax and laugh as much as I wanted to.
Interesting.
IMDb gives us a 6.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 245 critics, give it 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Audience, 10,000 plus.
Please.
86%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I come in just a little lower than everybody to 6.5 out of 10.
That's still super solid.
Fun movie to watch. Just if you don't mind the cringe factor, it's a lot of fun.
I can't believe the critics were so high.
Yeah, they really. And it's just a fine movie. The kids really bring it. The filmmaking's fine. It's just that cringe, man. That cringe factor.
That's wild.
Cringer.
Cringer?
Cringer.
Cringer?
That's right.
Battle Cat?
That's him. I'd prefer a Battle Cat, less Cringer.
Yeah, I mean, Cringer has a role to fill, though.
Right, absolutely.
He's got to bring the Battle Cat.
Right, exactly. But you tolerate the Cringer, right, for the Battle Cat.
Well, he's such a scaredy cat.
He is.
He's got a weird paint job.
Very weird, the green with the yellow.
But I love it.
Oh, yeah, it works.
I had an inflatable Battle Cat when I was little.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere there's a picture of that thing.
That's way cool. I had a bunch of secondhand He-Man toys, because for some reason you could find them at yard sales and flea markets abound when I was a youth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where I got all my G.I. Joes.
Oh, my God. G.I. Joes.
That was my favorite.
I have to tell you, G.I. Joes, I think, were, like, the perfect toy because they were so posable, so flexible. They were perfect, like, scale-wise. I used to have them wrestle all the time.
Right.
And I had a bunch of Legos, and I would make chairs and tables and things out of the Legos, and they were perfect. Like, you'd lay them over there, crunch through a table. Yeah. Beautiful.
They were the perfect addition after Star Wars. Like, the Star Wars toys were just about 3 3/4.
Yes.
And then the G.I. Joe improved upon the idea of it. And yeah. You just had every type of character ever.
Yeah.
And some you never thought of, like Croc Master.
That's right. It's like, I need a sailor. Get him over here.
Get over here, sailor.
Yeah. Like, I need this. I need Snake Eyes over here now because he's a ninja.
I'm in. That movie. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I'm in.
I know you're in.
I mean, Samara Weaving in it.
I think she's great.
I also think she's great.
But I see the babysitter too, so.
Yeah. She can do some McG, terrible stuff. If you want to come on the podcast, talk about Snake Eyes, let me know.
McG.
McG has an open invitation to just talk about anything on this podcast.
If he's willing to tolerate me heckling him, 100% welcome. Bring it, McG.
Get in here. Bring an Anderson with you.
Bring, yeah, W.S. Anderson. Anderson. So I can just tape up glass to my knuckles.
Wow. I didn't know we were doing the Taipei death match, but all right.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Well, I got a movie.
Yeah, please.
This movie I never heard of. And it's from 2019.
But you watched it.
I did.
So how have you never heard of it?
I wasn't very good at watching it.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
It's called Zoo Head.
Oh, I've never heard of that either.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did.
No.
I watched it on the 6th of May of 2021. It's an hour 20. Sci-fi thriller.
Okay.
Directed by Naveen Dev. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dev. I don't know. Starring Daniel Amati, Husina Raja, and Brian Potter Jr.
They have Brian Potter Jr. fitting right
clutch.
In there.
Yeah. Clutch, baby. Clutch. IMDb movie summary. An addict is trapped to live the same day over and over again when he is placed onto an experimental rehabilitation program that involves memory looping.
Interesting.
So this movie is Groundhog Day meets Inception.
Interesting.
With a little train spotting thrown in.
Oh. Just enough to keep you invested.
Yeah. I like all those things.
I know you do.
So this is a dirty, gross drug movie. So if that's a trigger for you, probably don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low budget movie, but I was actually very impressed with the storytelling. The storyline's pretty good. Kind of Inception meets Groundhog Day. But it is better than that sounds.
It does sound very bizarre to say.
Right. And this is a great mindfuck film.
Nice.
Because you don't know what the hell's going on.
That's cool.
So essentially when you meet your three main characters, which are the people I named, because there's only like 10 people maybe total in
nice.
The whole movie.
Love that.
Small set, only a handful of sets. They're in a dirty, rundown building. They're probably squatting.
Right.
They're just high all the time on different drugs. And they're doing an experiment in this place. Like, they can't get jobs. Like, they are actually ordered by the company that they were working for to go to this place and do this program so they can keep the job. Kind of
thing. Wow.
It's very weird because it's like near future kind of feeling.
Sure.
And you don't know what's real and what's not.
Love that.
And you're just confused the whole time. And every time you figure it out, you go down another layer.
That's cool.
Things are slightly different. And then you start questioning, was that the real lair that I started on?
Okay.
What is actually happening here?
Oh, that's fun.
It's a very awesome mindfuck.
I like
movie.
That, yeah.
It's real good. I enjoyed this movie a bunch.
That's cool.
And I had no expectations of it.
The title needs work.
Yeah, Zoo Head is a term in the movie. It's not great.
No, it's just if I'm like an outside approaching this and it's like, you want to watch Zoo Head? It's like, I sure don't.
No. Yeah, I figure that's probably my biggest critique of it.
Which is a fantastic critique to have, by the way.
Yeah, no, you're just like, it's like how I feel about every movie that has a number at the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
How many blocks, how many rooms, how many
yep.
this?
Yep.
I can't
That's
remember.
Right. 4 rooms, 16 blocks.
What?
Yeah.
Let's make that movie. That's after Follow That Bird. Coming soon, everybody. Hi, J-Rod.
We're just going to mix together 4 rooms and...
Oh, it's an anthology.
Yeah.
About J-Rod.
Mos Def and J-Rod.
Mos Def and J-Rod.
Yeah. Or was it Yasin Bey now?
Ooh, okay.
He's changed his name.
Did he? I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Mos Def, great, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Pew, 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 pew. I don't know what happened there. Zoohead is a really cool movie. You feel for, like, these characters are just, they're all at different points of low. And this guy's girlfriend's, like, thinking of leaving him because he can't get clean. Every time he tries, he fails. And he actually starts putting in the effort, and she kind of starts going the other way. And she's actually going to pay, you can pay through this process if you're accepted to get memories fixed.
Huh.
And she has a lot of memories. She can't remember her childhood.
Oh, wow.
And as it goes on, you're like, wait a minute. Can you not remember your childhood? Because you're so many layers down in this weird thing.
Yeah.
So you're not sure. There's so many things that you're just like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but that's cool. I'm in.
Yeah.
So
it keeps you asking questions. And that's
it really does.
The difference between like suspense and mystery and confusion.
Right.
Suspense and mystery are good things because it keeps a viewer engaged. Confusion gets a viewer irritated and they don't want to deal with it anymore.
Right. Well, this is a weird movie, and I don't think everybody's in on it, as the scores will reflect. We will see. IMDb is the only one that did a score.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes did not. Well, there's one critic review, so it doesn't count, and there's less than 50 audience reviews, so okay. It does not count.
Wow.
A 3.6 is IMDb's score.
Somebody didn't like that.
But I did like it, and I gave it a 7.5.
Man, you are just a benevolent man these past few episodes.
I know. I'm feeling good.
You really
Life
are.
Life is great.
Give a 6.5 to Mortal Kombat.
Hey, no one's perfect. It's not Black Dynamite, I mean. But I was wondering if I was, insane. My wife watched it with me. She gave it a 6.
Nice.
So I think there's something there. And she is not big on like drug movies and like that. Like Breaking Bad was hard for her at points.
Right, sure.
So, it was good that she was near me.
Absolutely.
With that thought. It reaffirmed what I thought. I'm like, why does everybody? And I think it's because it's a tough movie and it's a weird movie.
Right.
You got to be 100% committed to watch it.
That makes sense.
What you got?
Yeah. So I just want everybody to know that we're about to enter the post-Thanksgiving of 2020, and I gave Sam permission to allow me to be subjected to Christmas films. Ergo, you are all going to be subjected to Christmas films.
Ho, ho, ho.
2018, The Christmas Chronicles. I watched this in November of 2020. It is 1 hour, 43 minutes American. It is a Christmas family film directed by Clay Cadis, starring one of my all-time favorite actors, the immortal Kurt Russell.
Ah, there it is.
Darby Camp and Judah Lewis. The summary for this film, a story of a brother and sister, Teddy and Kate Pierce, whose plan to catch Santa on tape while delivering gifts turns out to be an unexpected journey that most kids can only dream about.
Aw, that's nice.
Very heartwarming. Kurt Russell's a really cool Santa Claus.
Is he? Cool.
Hey, Kurt Russell's a really cool insert word here.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I put duh next to that. The plot is nice and simple, is very heavily focused on the Pierce children, who have kind of an estranged relationship after their father's passed away. They were closer, they've grown apart. Part of that is like the uncomfortableness of the father passing, but the father was big Christmas guy.
Okay.
And so this is more of a movie of they come together because of Christmas, something that I am so nitpicky about in these Christmas movies is
right. You
got to take something that matters about the holiday and bring it to the forefront. And family and togetherness are definitely up there.
Correct.
Unlike National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, this movie definitely focuses on family and coming together and what they can do as a team and, what the love of a family can overcome, which is really cool. And Santa Claus is kind of just the vessel that this happens through.
Interesting.
It very much has like a Santa Claus-y kind of feel where Santa Claus has like cool technology and like ancient magics and things like that. So it very much kind of harkens back to a Tim Allen-y kind of Santa Claus.
That's a good move.
Yeah. It's a neat, like, it's not like a, like somebody before Kurt Russell fell off a roof or anything, but this is like Santa Claus has developed this Christmas magic and he has like a bag of tricks and there are certain rules to Christmas that he has to follow. And so the Pierce children help him through trying to do everything and hence kind of find each other in the process, which is really like a genuinely heartwarming kind of Christmas
thing. I like
thing.
That. Yeah.
IMDb, 7.0 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 58 critics gave it 67%. The audience, 1,000 plus. 75%. I come in just a touch lower than everybody, but acceptably lower than everybody, Sam, thank you, at a 6.5 out of 10.
How much of that score is Kurt Russell?
3.5 out of 10.
You know, it dawns on me, if we're ever to do a Christmas special again, we're gonna have Sam on, but we're gonna run out of movies at some point. So I'll have to get with her, and we'll have to figure out how to do a Christmas episode ever again.
Pretty much.
Well, I guess I'll take us home.
Please take us away from Christmas. Anyway.
Let's get away from Christmas for a little while. I did a movie we mentioned on the podcast and said, why didn't we do it? So I did it.
Ooh, I love that.
Yep. It's 1975's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
My goodness.
Yes. What a good movie this is.
Yes, it is.
Who's your favorite Python? I know.
I'm going to go with, oh my God.
I know, I put you on the spot, but I don't care. I did.
Do you have an answer to this question yourself?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to go with, oh my God, this is difficult, but I'm going to say Eric Idle.
Eric Idle?
Yeah.
Okay. He is not mine. Michael Palin.
Good choice.
Michael Palin is always, especially for Flying Circus, like in this one, not as much.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a ton for me in this, but in the Flying Circus stuff, he is my favorite.
Yeah.
By far.
That's fair.
But this is not his vehicle. This is Graham Chapman's
Chapman also. I mean, you're not going to.
You can't.
There's
go
no
wrong.
Bad answer is the great part about that question.
Right.
Really. It's like, who's your favorite? Name one.
I think a lot of people say John Cleese. And if you said it for this movie, I'd agree. It's fine. Because John Cleese plays a lot of the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
And I like a thing they do where it's like if a character is a new character, and that's why they always had the knight helmet around. Like, just pick a tall guy. He's John Cleese for the scene.
Exactly.
And then John Cleese is the wizard.
Oh, it's so good.
The wizard named him. So good.
Yep.
But I watched this on the 10th of May. It's an hour 31. I think they're teasing me with that extra minute.
That's right. They needed it.
They did. Adventure comedy. That's the animation.
Yeah.
Adventure comedy fantasy, directed by Terry Gilliam along with Terry Jones.
Love Terry Gilliam.
They're both great, man. Yeah. So good. I like that Terry Gilliam went on to do a huge directing career. Like, you wouldn't have thought that initially.
No. If you look at some of his movies, it's like, wait, what?
Exactly. And I agree with that. Starring Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Michael Palin, all the guys.
All the guys.
All the guys. Another reason I watched this, though, that reminded me is I don't remember if I told this story on when we talked about it last, but my wife was laughing at something on her phone, and it was the rabbit scene from this.
Oh, wow.
And she's just hysterically laughing at it. I'm like, have you not seen that before? And she said, no. And I said, get over there. We're watching this right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I have failed you as a husband.
Clearly. My goodness.
I am a terrible person. Well, we already knew all that. We knew I was a failure and a terrible person. Year summary. King Arthur and his knights of the Round Table embark on a surreal, low-budget search for the Holy Grail.
That's right.
Encountering many very silly obstacles.
Oh, yes.
This movie's so good.
Yeah.
I really... And we had brought it up before, debating if this was better than Life of Brian. I feel like this is better. But, I mean, it's really just...
It's
so close.
You're not... Like the picking your favorite Python, you're not going to have a wrong answer in the choice of the two.
They're all good. I mean, you say Eric Idle, and all I think about is Transformers the movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
So good in that voice.
Mm-hmm.
My first bullet point is that this is number 131 on IMDb's top-rated movies.
I feel like it's one of the most quotable films of all time.
Absolutely. Now, keep that in mind when we get to the scores, because I don't think the score... I think the score is low considering it's number 131.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
IMDb has like a couple movies that are up there, and they drop off real fast.
There must be a million sixes and sevens on there.
Oh, yeah.
Because 9-3 was the top, I think, with Shawshank?
I think so,
I believe, off the top of my head.
And it drops down aggressively at a point.
Right, I think you get 20, 30 movies deep and you're at like 8-5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Michael Palin is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it, so I did it. So many memorable skits as they stay true to the original format. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Because it's a skit show initially, and they tie them all together with weird little gags. And I feel like they kind of do that here. They use the book kind of as the tie-all. But I think they have multiple stories going at once, and it's super fun. They all just put in these performances, and this could have really been bad for them if this movie just flopped.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a smash hit.
Yep.
So
funny.
And just the limited cast, and they're just, I mean, how many people were, I mean, they have a scene with a lot of people, but aside those extras, there's not a lot of people in this movie.
No, not at all.
It's pretty wild. If you haven't seen this movie, it's so good. It holds up today. My wife's not a big Monty Python fan. She's not a big British humor kind of gal.
I was
going to say guy. I'm the British humor guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a huge comedy guy. I love this. I've watched all the Flying Circus. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it again.
So funny.
And that podcast, never coming. It's never coming. We're never doing any other podcast but this one. I'm sorry. Everybody, good night. No, I'm just kidding. We're not done. So let's get to the scores. 8.2 is the score on IMDb, where it makes number 131. It's pretty wild. The critics and the audience from Rotten Tomato, you want to guess them?
Are they the same?
They're close, actually.
I'm going to go with critics, 92, audience, 94.
You're close.
Okay.
The audience had 95.
Okay.
With 250,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 78 critics that went back.
Interesting.
That's weird.
That's weird.
But 97 is the percent.
Okay.
So it's correct. And I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
I know I'm precious with my 9.5s, but I feel like 9 is correct.
9 is correct.
My wife.
What about 9 and a shrubbery?
One shrubbery.
Okay.
Just one.
We demand it.
I know. Knee.
That's so good.
We demand another shrubbery.
It's so funny.
My wife gave it a 6.
Still not bad.
Still not bad. For it not being her cup of tea, I mean, she just laughed at the holy hand grenade.
Oh, sure.
All day long.
And farting in general directions.
Go away or I shall... What was it? Now I forgot the joke. I shall taunt you a second time. Through the power of editing, I didn't fuck that up.